Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. It's great to be with you today. Thank the Lord for a beautiful day today, and we thank the Lord for all the graduates. This is, for many places around the country, graduation day in the high schools, and so we praise the Lord for all the graduates. We congratulate them for their perseverance and their dedication. And so today we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. I want to give a brief update, however, on the Africa projects. I've spoken the last couple of weeks. We've got a big team coming over in July, and they're going to be conducting an Encountering God conference, men's encounter, women's encounter. And by the way, if you've not been to one of those conferences here in Kansas or in some other state, I suggest you check it out and try to go to one of those conferences. They're very powerful. They're like a cleansing stream deliverance type conference over a couple of days, and it's very powerful. So I urge you to check that out. We're going to be doing an Encountering God conference at our Makunda Church, and we're going to invite in other churches, other people from the village and across Mumias to join us for a three-day conference. And so this team of Americans is coming over, and they're going to conduct this conference, and then we're going to do some work projects and then finish up the 10 days that they're there. We'll finish it up with a couple of days at the Masai Mara looking at the big animals, the lions and the elephants and the giraffes. So if you think you would be interested in a trip like this, a mission trip like this, the joy of the Lord will be with you every step of the way. You can plan for next summer. We can't take any more this year, but you can plan for next summer or some other time. Get that on your schedule. Make that a prayer priority for yourself, and join us over in Africa for a mission trip that will change your life. It will be an adventure and an opportunity for a lifetime. And then secondly, our crusades are going forward in August. We're planning to go back to Tanzania for a crusade in Dar es Salaam, the big city on the coast. 6 million people live in Dar, and it'll be our third or fourth crusade there over the years. So we're looking forward to that and starting to make plans for that as we look to the future in Africa. Well, today we're going to be talking about demons. And this may be a subject, may be a little bit uncomfortable to some people. People don't like to talk much about the demonic world, but we have to. If we're talking about spiritual warfare, we have to talk about demons, because they are the operating horde, the demonic horde, the operating force for the devil. And the devil has his counterfeit kingdom, just as God has his angels to do his work for him. So too does the devil have his counterfeit horde, the fallen angels, the demons, to do work for him, do his bidding for him. And so your battle is with the demons that have been assigned to you, that have been harassing you, harassing your family, following your family line down through the generations. And so if you are a believer, you understand already the battle that you are in. You understand that when you get up in the day, you need to pray and cover yourself with the armor. We'll be talking in the last half of this message about the gospel armor. But here in this passage, we're looking at Matthew 12, verse 43. And this is a picture of addiction. It's a picture of spiritual warfare and our battle against the demons that try to drag us into addiction and try to drag us down and separate us from God. As God speaks to us, as God calls to us, these demons have been assigned to you and to me to separate us from God's plan for our life. And so in verse 43, Matthew 12, it says, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. And then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order." Then in verse 45, it says, "Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation." Well, this is Jesus speaking, and he is telling the disciples and the people that are listening there that they're going to be the subject of a great battle over their soul, and the battle is between the kingdom of God and the plan that God has for them and the demons that they entertain, the demons that we all get harassed and tormented by as we encounter them as we walk through this life. And so he starts out in verse 43 and he says, this unclean spirit, well, that's a demonic spirit he's talking about, it goes through dry places when it goes out of a man. Well, the demonic spirits, the demons, they want to inhabit people. That's their first choice. Sometimes they inhabit livestock. You've heard probably about a demonic cow or a demonic horse. Some people say, well, that horse is just demon-possessed, and I think I had a horse like that at one time. But when the demons go out, and they go out into the dry, waterless places, they're seeking rest. They've been cast out of their home, that is, somebody's body, their home. They go out. They've been cast out by the name of Jesus, or some person maybe just goes through some kind of a transformation, a spiritual transformation, gets revelation on demonic activity in their life, and so they start to pray and they cast them out. And so they go out into the waterless places, they seek rest, in a sense they find none. The reason they don't find any rest is because demons are made to inhabit people. That's their primary abode. That's their primary resting place. They want to take over and inhabit people and then take those people away from the kingdom of God, take those people on a crash course, and those people end up then in drug addiction or an alcohol addiction or pornography addiction, or those people end up liars and cheaters or adulterers. In some way, they are then taken away from the kingdom of God in their life. And so the demon comes back to that house, verse 44, and he says, I'll go back to that house which I came from. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. When you might say, well, if it's empty, swept, and put in order, that's all good. Maybe that's what God wants, is that it be swept and put in order. Well, beloved, God does want us to have order in our life. He wants our lives to be clean, but more than anything else, He wants the Spirit of God to abide in your house. If your house is empty, yes, you might have somebody come in every day, a cleaning lady or cleaning service, clean your house, and then they leave. The house might be empty, it might be swept, it might be put in order, but there's no Spirit of the living God in that house. And so it is when the demons come back and they don't find the power of God, the Holy Spirit, residing in your house, then they consider that house to be empty, and so they can take it over. It doesn't matter how spotless it is. Jesus told the Pharisees, you guys look like a bunch of whitewashed tombs. You're beautiful on the outside, but on the inside you're full of wickedness and all kinds of perversion. And so it is when somebody has cleanliness on the outside, or things look spick and span, or things look clean and put in order, but if there is no Holy Spirit there, the power of the living God is not there to protect that house, beloved, the demons will come in and they will inhabit and take over that house. And so that brings up a question for your life. Is the Holy Spirit abiding in you? Is the Holy Spirit taking over in your life and abiding in you to keep the demons kicked out, to keep the guard up on your house, and to keep the guard up so your holy temple is protected when the demons come around and knock on the door and they say, is anybody home? Well, if you have nobody home, beloved, and you can still be walking down the street, you can go to your job every day, you look like a functioning person, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit to guard your house, nobody is home from a demonic point of view. They're going to come over, and they're going to come in, and they're going to sit down in your living room, they're going to sit down in your bedroom, they're going to sit down and take over your house, and you will be going places you don't want to go, and the demons will be leading you around, and they will be calling the shots in your life. Well, here's something that's even worse. Verse 45, it says, he goes and takes with him, when he finds the house empty, he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be, Jesus said, with this wicked generation. And so they come, they look in the house, oh, it's empty. No Holy Spirit, no guard, no watchman. They go and they get seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And he says to those spirits, look, I found a house. I found a man or a woman or a teenager, somebody. And we can go and inhabit that person because there's nobody home to guard that house. And so they bring seven more wicked than himself. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Beloved, Jesus encountered a man in the fifth chapter of Mark, a man that was living in the tombs in the Gadarenes, and that man was called Legion, and he had 2,000 demonic spirits inhabiting his holy temple, and his house was overrun and overtaken to the point where he was sitting out in the tombs in the cemetery, gashing himself with stones, and he was a madman and a maniac from all appearances. And Jesus encountered this man. Well, he cast the demons out, and they went into the pigs in that local area. But the reason this man was able to have 2,000 demons in him was because at some point in time, he cast demons out. They went out and got seven more. They came back. Now you have eight. Some point you cast them out. They go out and get seven more. Now you have 56, I guess. And so on and on exponentially, then that 56 becomes 375 or whatever. And eventually you do that over and over, and you don't get deliverance and stay discipled in the ways of the Lord. You get momentary or temporary deliverance, and then you go back into the addiction, you go back into the alcohol, you go back into the drugs, and the demons become more populated in your temple. The demons become stronger in your temple, more wicked than the original ones. And if you talk to people that battle with drug addiction, they'll tell you when they go back into drugs after months or years of being away from drugs, that it comes on them like a whirlwind. It comes on them like a gusher. And the last state of the addiction is much worse than the first. And so it becomes more and more difficult to get away from the addiction the more you deal with it, the more you dabble with it, without getting total deliverance and without being able to fill up your holy temple with the power of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, that is the answer. If you're out there listening to me today and you have been struggling with addiction, maybe you've been through rehabilitation facilities, and maybe you've had 100 people pray over you or whatever. If you have not received the Holy Spirit, if you don't have the watchman on the wall and the gospel armor on your holy temple and keeping the demons out of you by the power of the living God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord of provision, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace, if you don't have Jehovah and the Holy Spirit watching over you, beloved, you're going to trip and you're going to stumble and fall, and you will go back into that addiction, and the last state of the man, the last state of you, will be worse than the first. Well, I have a little bit of experience in this realm, as I was at one point in time. If you've heard my testimony, at one point in time, I was more than dabbling. I was participating wholeheartedly in the demonic realm through drug use and alcohol use. And so I have some experience. It's not just book learning or studying the Bible from which I speak about this subject. And so I know you have to go with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul. You have to go to the Lord, and you have to cry out to Him, and you have to run away from the devil. Submit to the Lord, submit to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And your friends that are with you in your drug life, your alcohol life, your porn life, whatever, your friends, those who walk with you and encourage you in that life, they're going to say, what happened to him? But I can tell you, this is the only way you're going to get true deliverance and get true freedom from the torment of the devil, that it keeps taking you away from God's plan in your life. Well, I talked about the gospel armor and the ways that you can bolster yourself and encourage and strengthen yourself in your walk with the Lord. And so if you turn to Ephesians 6:12, we're going to look at this passage of Scripture, which many of you I know this passage. You can probably quote it, but we're going to look at it because no issue about spiritual warfare, no discussion of spiritual warfare is finished without looking at this passage of Scripture. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he says in verse 10, let's start in verse 10 of Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, beloved, the wiles of the devil are the schemes. The devil is always trying to scheme against you. The devil is always trying to get you to stumble. The devil is always trying to take you away from God's plan. And so he is scheming. Thank God he doesn't have the wisdom. He's a counterfeit devil. He's a counterfeit of the true God. He doesn't have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, or the wisdom of Jehovah God or Jesus, but the devil has a counterfeit ability to copy what God does and to copy things that he has seen. And so he is always scheming and trying to manipulate and control, and the devil is always plotting to try to take you down. And so Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. And so in verse 12, then, he goes on and talks about this battle, this wrestling that we're in. And for those of you who have wrestled, especially in this town, wrestling's a big sport. And many, many people have wrestled. Many people have been champions here in this town. Wrestling is an all-encompassing sport. It saps your strength. It takes every ounce of strength in a 6-minute or 8-minute match. It takes all of your strength, and you can be in that match. You can just give 100% and come off that mat, and you actually have no strength and no energy left other than just to stumble off the mat. Well, that's sometimes the way it is when you're wrestling against the devil. But Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Beloved, your battle is not against your husband or your wife or against your teenager or against your boss or against somebody down the street who throws trash or beer cans on your lot. Your battle is against flesh and blood. So start thinking of ways that you can engage the battle, and you can pray and liberate yourself from whatever enemy you have, and you can liberate yourself from whatever addiction or bad behavior that you have. You can liberate yourself, and you have to understand your battle is not that person, not the flesh that you see. Your battle is against the powers and principalities and the rulers of darkness, and taken even in a greater measure, our battle over the state of Kansas or over the United States of America is against the principalities, the rulers of darkness, and those higher levels of demonic horde that have been assigned to disrupt and cause chaos and rebellion and anarchy in the United States. And you can certainly see them operating, and they're very active right now as things seem to be going a little bit haywire. But there's some people in America that like that because they see that as an opportunity to take more control, to initiate martial law or take control and take over the people. And so you see powers and principalities and rulers of darkness and the spiritual horses of wickedness in the heavenly places. They are active over every country, and they're not the same in every country, but they are active over every country, taking those people away from the kingdom of God, trying to take them into the kingdom of the devil. And so then Paul goes up in verse 13. He goes on to talk about the armor of God. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Beloved, stand sometimes means get on your knees and pray. Sometimes it means fast for a day or 3 days or a week. Sometimes it means spend more time in Bible study. Sometimes it means spend more time in worship or going to church. Fasting and praying and fellowship in the church, all of these are weapons of our warfare. That's what it means to stand. It means to stand up against the plan of the devil. Maybe you just need to talk with your teenager and say, we're not going to do this or allow this behavior any longer. Maybe you just need to spend more time in prayer for your wife or your husband or somebody in your circle of friends. You've already talked to them. You maybe just need to fast and pray and engage the powers and principalities and the rulers of darkness in their life that are controlling their life and causing you grief and causing you torment. Well, in verse 14, Paul goes on to say, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, there's the pieces of the gospel armor right there. Paul lists them. And so you need to pray when you get up in the morning. Say, Lord, cover me up with the pieces of the gospel armor. Cover me up so that when I engage the enemy today, when the wiles and the schemes of the evil one come towards me and cross my path or are fired towards me, I can counter with the gospel armor. I can defend myself with the gospel armor. And so these pieces then are very important. I'll repeat them just so you know what they are. Having girded waist with truth, that is the belt of truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, John 14:6. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness covers your heart and your main organs, your liver and the main organs of your body. And the heart is where the issues of life come out of. And so your heart and your mind and your strength, Jesus said, love me with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. And so when you love Jesus with all your heart, or anything with all your heart, you have the passion, you have the desire, and you have the joy that goes with giving your all, and you are passionate about what you're doing. And then shod your feet with the preparation of gospel of peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. When you put those shoes on your feet, peace goes with you wherever you go. When you step on that land, that's holy land, and the peace of God then is with you. And above all, take shield of faith. The faith goes before you, so it's held out on the arm in front of you. The Lord says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That is in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So faith has to go before you in salvation, in any kingdom endeavor. The faith goes before you and lights your way and makes a way. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And so every good Christian believer has to have faith, and you have to exercise your faith. And so you take up the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then you take the helmet of salvation, that is to protect your mind. We have the mind of Christ. And the sword of the Spirit is the offensive weapon, and that is the Word of God. I'm preaching to you from the Word of God today. That is the sword of the Spirit. You need to dedicate yourself to learning the sword of the Spirit, learning the Scripture. Commit some of it to memory, all of it if you can, and then that is your offensive weapon, the Word of God. And I'll close here in verse 18, praying always, Paul says, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So saturate your armor every day with prayer, saturate your life with prayer, saturate your family and your abode, your home, your job, your mission, your ministry, saturate it with prayer, and for the saints, and you will be walking in victory when the schemes and wiles of the evil one come toward you. You will be able to deflect them, and you will go forward in victory. Well, beloved, that is Spiritual Warfare 101. It's a deep, deep subject. We could go on for many weeks. We may do one more week, but that is the subject for today. That is the way to defeat the enemy. You get that gospel armor on, and you say, "Enemy, I am ready. I have the weapons. I have the tools. I have the faith. I have the sword of the Spirit, and I am ready to take you on." Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that, and we invite you to support this ministry. We invite you to pray for this ministry, not only for the radio broadcast, but for the missions and the activities in Africa. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, we'd love to hear from you. Sit down, write us out a note today. Let us know you're listening. Give us some support as you think about and pray about how you can help to move the kingdom of God forward through Gather the Outcast ministry. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.